Blog Talk Radio.
And in fact, there was a recent survey this year. 40% of the people who are buying Christmas presents know in advance they don't have the money to pay the bill when it comes in. So they're going to do it anyway. I mean, some people spend till May and June to pay off their Christmas gifts and pay a lot of interest on it as well. So that is not a smart financial strategy because interest rates are very high with credit cards, you know. 13, 18, 25%. So it's a very expensive, wrong habit to be in.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to the Midday Money Show, your weekly shot of uncommon financial good sense. I'm Tony Husbands, a financial coach with the Debt Free Divas, and I love talking about all things as they relate to your money. It's almost Christmas time, folks, and I know that you are probably deep into your Christmas shopping experience. And so today I wanted to talk with a shopping expert, or a savings expert, I should say, so we can capitalize on some of these last minute savings tips. Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answer Man, is a consumer journalist who spent 37 years on a mission helping Americans do better with their money. For 18 of those years, he was the premier consumer expert at Money, a personal finance magazine. Jordan's the author of 14 personal finance books. His latest, Master Your Debt, Slash Your Monthly Payments and Become Debt Free, is one that I'm reading right now. We talk about his favorite ways to save money while Christmas shopping and what we need to do to protect ourselves online because ID theft is rampant, folks, especially this time of year. All resources mentioned in today's episode, Savvy Shopping Tips for the Christmas Season, will be available on my website. So just head over to debtfreedivas.org. This is the Christmas season. This is the time of year where even the most frugal among us dips into their wallet a little further and likes to enjoy the holidays. And we have a lot of particular areas pulling at us financially in terms of celebrating this time. So what I wanted to talk about is just how we can do that and be savvy about it, how we can still celebrate, have a great time, but keep our finances in focus during this period. So talk to me, Jordan. What are some things that shoppers can definitely take advantage of to stay focused on their budget during this time of year?
Well, the first thing is to have an overall dollar amount that you can spend. And then as you buy a present, you take that away from that amount until you get to zero, and then you stop. I mean, this is not the way most people do it. Say your total budget's $1,000, whatever it may be, and you buy something for $200, you now have $800 to spend, and you go to zero, and that's it. So a lot of people do not have that discipline, and they end up spending money they know they don't have. And in fact, there was a recent survey this year, 40% of the people who are buying Christmas presents know in advance they don't have the money to pay the bill when it comes in. So they're going to do it anyway. That's America.
We worry about it later.
Later comes pretty soon, like January, when the bills come in. I mean, some people spend till May and June to pay off their Christmas gifts and pay a lot of interest on it as well. So that is not a smart financial strategy because interest rates are very high with credit cards, you know, 13, 18, 25%. So it's a very expensive, wrong habit to be in.
Exactly. So let's talk about this then. How does somebody determine or figure out what's a reasonable amount to set for spending? Do you have any like tips in that area? Like, you know, because you might say $1,000 is a lot. Somebody might think that's a lot, but how do we kind of come up with looking in our budget, what we should think about in terms of what's realistic to spend for Christmas?
In the best of all worlds, the old days used to actually save up for Christmas. They had these things called Christmas clubs, which nobody knows about anymore.
Right, right.
Where you'd actually save money, and by the time you got to the season, it was already there. What an unusual idea. But if you don't do that, which 99% of people don't, just kind of look at your overall budget. It's obviously different for everybody. And do something that's comfortable. You don't want to feel you're going into huge amounts of debt to pay for things. And then once you've got that budget amount, spend on the most important people in your life first, and then others later. So your spouse gets something first, and your third uncle twice removed maybe doesn't make it this year, kind of thing.
Right.
Oh, this would be good for my cousin. It's like, yes, but does that mean you're going to go over budget, you know? So that's prioritizing makes sense. And then, I mean, a lot of people buying things online today. Like we just had Cyber Monday, was the biggest Cyber Monday in history. And the right before that, the Black Friday, was the biggest Black Friday in history. But the vast majority of the increase in sales is coming online these days. So there's good and bad parts of going online. The good part is you don't have to battle the crowds and the parking and the gas and all that. And you have a tremendous selection, and you can do shopping bots to find the best deals anywhere. The bad part is it's very easy. So if you're not handing over cash or even a physical credit card, just putting a few numbers into a shopping cart and clicking buy is almost too easy for a lot of people,
right.
Terry.
Right.
So, you know, it really gets people into trouble. And they make it very easy for you. And sometimes if you abandon a shopping cart, they'll come back to you with an email. Well, how about if we give it to you a little cheaper, you know? So these online merchants have gotten very smart and making it easy for you to get it over your head.
Oh, that might actually be a little strategy, huh? To, like, put stuff in your shopping cart and
definitely
then walk away?
Abandon your shopping cart, and they're not going to leave you alone. Are you sure? You know, how about if we give you another 10% off?
I'm going to try that. I knew that happens, but you don't think about it in the moment because it's like, okay, let me get this done. Let me mark this task off my to-do list. But yeah, put some stuff in your shopping cart.
But see, it's all done by computers these days and robots. So they're watching you every moment. And if you fill up your shopping cart and then, you know, you can save it. You don't have to just completely abandon all your work, but save it and then you don't complete the transaction, you will get an email saying, we noticed you filled your shopping cart but didn't go ahead. You know, how about if we give you 10% off? You know, would that make a difference? And so get those computers working on your side.
Right, savvy soft and chip. Well, I'm glad you mentioned shopping online and that so many more of us, and I am a big proponent of that shopping online because I like to cost compare and think about things and not be caught up in that like shopping frenzy moment and like actually make a decision like, is this something I really want or can I find it somewhere cheaper? Love that. But one of the things that this move towards the digital economy is doing is kind of making us vulnerable to new thieves. And in your book, Master Your Debt, you talk about ways to avoid modern day identity crisis. And I personally have been a victim a couple times of identity crisis and know how, while was able to restore everything, it's just a big headache. It's such a huge, yes, headache.
If I may ask, how did you get hit by identity? Is it something you did or something you didn't do?
They happened twice, and it happened in two different ways. So one was actually we had just come back from one of the islands, and I don't remember if it was like Jamaica or Bahamas or something like that. So we had just come back from one of the islands, and we were using our credit card there, or it's actually a debit card. So we're using our debit card there. And once we got back home, or at least we got back to the States, because we were actually in another state, my husband was trying to use his debit card for gas, and it was declined. And what happened was it was like instantaneous, like that same weekend or day we got home, somebody had taken that number and was going up the east coast of the United States using that card, using his card for gas. They had gone from Florida to North Carolina to up to New York using gas, filling up. It was like so quick, and then they shut it off. You know, they shut it off because of the weird, you know, the weird activity. But it was just like, wow, we can't use our card, but somebody else was able to use it.
Exactly. Well, so you still had your physical card.
Yes.
But they got the number.
They got the number.
They created a new card with that number.
And my assumption is, again, that it happened when we were in the islands because it was so quick. We had just gone there. We had just come back, and he couldn't use his car as soon as we got back.
It happens all the time. Yeah. This is the biggest consumer complaint with the Federal Trade Commission is identity theft. So in many cases, now in your case, it doesn't sound like you did anything particularly wrong, and they got your number anyway.
Right.
I mean, that's what's happening. More of the online ID theft is happening today without the consumer doing anything wrong. It's not as though you left your credit card in a restaurant or something. You did the right thing, but they're tapping in at the central level. I mean, they did this like with Target, and they got and they did this with Home Depot. You know, they got 50 million accounts by tapping into the central database. So it's not so good doing something wrong. You're still vulnerable. Anyway.
Now I'm curious about that with the whole, you know, with, yes, all of these big box retailers losing credit card information. Does it save you or does it help you any? Are you any more protected if you use your card as a credit, if you're using your debit card as a credit card versus putting in your PIN? Is there any protection that way?
It gets you either way.
It gets you either way.
It gets you either way.
Okay.
you're toast either way.
But it is what it is.
This episode is sponsored by Personal Capital, a free online tool that helps you keep track of your personal finances, folks. Track your spending, manage your investments, and keep up with everything through their secure mobile app. You can support the Midday Money Show and take advantage of this fabulous free tool by creating a free account with Personal Capital. Head over to debtfreedivas.org/personal and we'll show you the way.
Okay, well, let's talk about how we can kind of either avoid, are there some ways that we can avoid being victims of identity theft?
So, I mean, I'm a believer in LifeLock, and, you know, because I get emails from them all the time, was this your purchase? They're on it, and you can set levels, you know, like $500 or whatever. Any transaction over $500, you want to get an email, and they say, was this you? You know, confirm that this was you. So that, to me, is a certain way. If you give my name or Money Answers as my brand name, they'll actually give you a bit of a discount, like 10% discount. So go to lifelock.com/moneyanswers or, you know, call them and say Money Answers. To me, it's a peace of mind kind of thing, and because they're on it. And in fact, I had a case recently where somebody was trying to get $10,000 off of my card at an ATM in Las Vegas at 4 in the morning. And they said, just want to make sure it's you trying to change your password. It's like, no, I'm asleep, actually. And I stopped.
I didn't even know you could get $10,000 from an ATM.
Oh, yeah.
At one time, I thought they had limits at ATMs. Okay, interesting.
So you can't possibly be on guard for all these things the way they are. So suspicious activity, you know, they'll at least notify you and say, is this you? That kind of thing. So that's one thing. And then credit monitoring, where you can see, for example, have there been applications for credit. A website for that is guardmycredit.com, where you can see, because what people often do is once they've got your information, so security number, date of birth, address, a few things, they apply for credit cards in your name and then have it sent to another address. And then they go spending like crazy. So anything like that, you don't want to make sure that they're, you know, kind of telling you about it as well. So you just got to be, I give speeches all over the country. I always, during the speech, say, anybody here been victim of identity theft? And every time I get two or three hands up with just horrific stories about that. And then recovering from it, as you said, is a royal pain. Getting these things off. You can't get a new Social Security number. Getting these things off. Whenever you get confused with somebody else, their credit is always worse than yours. You're not confused with Bill Gates or Warren Buffett.
Right.
You're confused with some deadbeat who, right? That's always
no such luck. You know. Now, here's something you mentioned, which it's a little disconcerting, but you said that there are various ways that people, crooks, criminals, get access to your private information, and one of the ways is setting up fake networks. So,
right.
You know, and we're
right.
Going, you know, nowadays, you know, you're using your smartphone for everything, and you might want to be connected to Wi-Fi, and so there's, like, all these public Wi-Fi access points, but now we have to be concerned that access point, that public access point, could be fake. How do we determine that? Is there any way for us to know?
Well, you just have to be suspicious, basically. I mean, there's phishing, where they'll give you an email from a site that looks legitimate, like your bank or something, and it's actually a trap. You know, we just want to get your PIN number just to make sure we're doing a security check or something like that. The bank is not going to ask you for your security check,
right.
Okay? Another big scam is the IRS. There's a lot of places that impersonate the IRS and file a phony tax return on your behalf, not on your behalf, to get a refund sent to them. And the IRS computers are set to send out refunds first and ask questions later. So I think this year there's 21 million people that got hit by that, something like that. And they hadn't even filed their tax return yet. And when they filed their real tax return, the IRS said, no, we've already got your tax return. No, we don't. We already sent you a refund. No, you didn't. It's like, that's a very common one these days, is people impersonating the IRS. These people are brutal. Yeah. And in many cases, it's not Americans. When I had that $10,000 attempt in Las Vegas, it turned out it was a Bulgarian mafia ring that had a stooge in Las Vegas that was doing this for them. So you never know today who's going to be out there to get you.
All of this while we're trying to celebrate the holidays. So, but
but
I guess it makes sense to, like you say, just be vigilant and be suspicious so that you can protect yourself
Correct.
As much as possible.
Right. That's right. So don't ruin your holidays, but be on guard all the time.
Do you have any tips for finding good? One of the things I like to do, like I said, when I'm online shopping, I like to price compare and find coupons online because I'm not a big coupon person. But if I can save 25% off by entering a code, then why not? Do you have any tips for saving additional money while you're shopping online?
Sure. Well, the thing with codes is what you need with coupons is a code. You just have to be able to get the code. And there are lots of websites. There's one called couponmom.com, for example. And every coupon is out on her website. It's free. And you just go on there and you get wherever you're shopping, you go and get the code first. And you use that code in the promo code when you're shopping or in your cart. And there it goes, 20, 25% off, whatever it may be. Done. Okay. You just need a bunch of numbers to save yourself a ton of money. So that's certainly a way of doing it. Certainly using the shopping bots is a good
idea. What's that? Tell me about that. I don't know what that is.
So it's kind of like a robot. Think of it as a robot. And you tell them what you want to purchase and the model number and whatever it may be. And then they go onto the websites and then they search for that product at all the different websites to get you the best possible deal. Anyway, you don't have to do it. You let the computers do it for you.
How do I get access to the shopping bots?
Well, there's one called shopbot.com, for example. And just Google shopping bots, and you'll see tons of them.
I didn't know this. Okay.
Get the computers working for you instead of against you. How about that?
Awesome. Excellent. What's your favorite way for saving money while you're shopping?
Well, price comparison is certainly a good way to do it. I go for quality. I want to get something with really high quality first. And then I shop around to get the best deal on it. There's specific things there, like Etsy would be an example of a place where you get really unique kinds of things. It's not as much about saving a few dollars here or there, but getting something of really high quality is my whole idea when you give Christmas presents.
Very cool. Very cool. If somebody finds themselves after the holidays overspending or in a situation where they're a little overwhelmed with the spending and the debt that they've accumulated, what are some suggestions that you have for them?
If you're in a circumstance where you've got a lot of credit card debt at high rates, you should use a nonprofit credit counseling place because they will get you lower interest rates than you could ever get on your own, typically 6, 7%, something like that. And you make one payment to the credit counseling agency. They consolidate all your different debts into one, and then you can get out of debt in whatever, 2, 3 years, depending on how the numbers work out. My favorite place there is called Cambridge Credit Counseling. Their website, cambridgecredit.org. Their phone number, 800-897-2200. They're currently doing this for about 1 million people. And there's a total of about 7 million people in America in credit counseling programs because they just can't handle it on their own. If you just pay the minimum on a credit card, it could take you 30 years to pay it off or something. It's crazy. So here, you're going to make progress on the principal instead of making no progress on the principal and pay it off much, much quicker than you ever can possible. So deal with these nonprofit credit counseling agencies like a Cambridge. I would avoid the for-profit debt settlement firms that you hear a lot about that say, you know, come to us and we'll get 50% off what you owe. Well, they may get that, but it's going to ruin your credit. Nonprofit credit counseling is considered a neutral on your credit score. So if you're in that circumstance, which a lot of people will be after the holidays, use that technique instead of trying to, you know, pay the minimum on your credit card and get out from under it on your own. With nonprofit credit counseling, you are paying back the full balance, just at a lower interest rate over a shorter period of time. And that's why it's considered neutral on your credit score. So I don't want you to ruin your credit just because you went wild during the holidays and now you have a huge amount of debt. So again, cambridgecredit.org. 800-897-2200 can help people in that circumstance.
Just so we're clear, how do we determine before contacting them if a company is a for-profit or a non-profit credit?
It says right on their website, and in the case of Cambridge, they're a 501c3 not-for-profit. Most companies in the credit counseling space are non-profit. The ones in the debt settlement space tend to be for-profit. So usually that's kind of the way it works. But ask them, are you a non-profit? And by being a nonprofit, it limits the fees that they can charge. Each state actually limits it. So it's typically about $25, $30 a month. But you're going to pay a lot lower interest rate. If you're paying 18% and now you're paying 6, you're going to save a lot more in interest than the $25 fee you're going to pay Cambridge, something like that. So it definitely pays off. And the discipline of it. Notice, instead of having five different cards all over the place and you might miss a payment or something, you just have one bill a month. They'll debit your account electronically, and you don't have to worry about it. You just have to have enough money to make that payment. But that can help just simplify the entire situation. And then over time, hopefully you've learned your lesson so you don't overspend again, which is what people tend to do. They pay their credit card debt off, and then they spend it right back up again.
Okay. That's excellent information. Thank you so much. And I hope, again, that this is able to help people enjoy the holiday season and take these tips. Yeah, enjoy it and not necessarily come away with what I call strings attached, where we're worried about how we're going to pay off bills that we've accumulated until, you know, well into the new year.
It happens all the time. So I did a book on this, which I've sent you, called Master Your Debt, which kind of goes into all these things about a lot of different areas of debt. And my website is moneyanswers.com. And I'm glad to get emails from your listeners as well on this and all kinds of other topics at moneyanswers.com.
Thank you so much for your time. And you have a wonderful holiday season.
You too. Thanks so much, Tony. Appreciate it.
Well, hopefully you found some good and helpful tips in this episode. Again, if you want to find all links to the resources mentioned, just head over to my website, debtfreedivas.org, and look for the show notes for this episode, Savvy Savings Tips for the Christmas Season. While you're there, make sure you join in on the 6-day Hidden Money Challenge, where I am challenging you to keep more of your hard-earned cash. Find links to that. Again, folks, you know the URL, debtfreedivas.org. Until next time, have a great money week.